We're in a series of messages on life and death issues. I guess Easter would be a life and death issue too, I think. Actually, if you think about it, we're going to take a different tack though next week. We've covered a number of things, and because of this Noah movie that came out recently, that it kind of led me to look at the times of Noah, and today I kind of want to look at the task of Noah. So let's pray for the message. It might be good to do that. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today through the scriptures about building our lives in the midst of the world in which we live. And I ask that you would bless it with a word for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us just to read Matthew 24:36-44, which we used last week. And Jesus was talking to them about the second coming when he would return, but he was describing the times, and he uses the words about as in the days of Noah. So let's read that together. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at a mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This as you read this stuff, we're talking about the times of Noah. In the scripture, Matthew, we see that things will be going on as usual when Jesus comes again. People will be eating and drinking. That's leisure and pleasure. And they will be getting married. People will be working in the field and at the mill. And the key is to all of this is though their state of readiness. Jesus says one will be taken, one will be left. Some are ready and some aren't. When it all comes to an end. And then Jesus says, you can know one thing, and that one thing is to watch. Well, what are we watching? Well, we watch the signs of the times. And Jesus here in these words is making reference to the times of Noah, because it is in the times like Noah that Jesus would come again. And this is a call to pay attention to not only the times, but how you build your life in terms of that. It's a time of judgment and truth, not the time of grace as the first time. You'll have to have an ark ready, so to speak, when the day comes. An ark that will save your household in the times of judgment. And I want to talk to you about building a personal ark today. We looked at the times of Noah last time and the times that we live in and how they parallel our times. And let me quickly point out the four aspects that we see concerning the times of Noah and also our times. I have these first two verses in Genesis chapter 6 printed, if you'll read them with me. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, in those two verses, we have four aspects of the times of Noah and our times as well. In verse 5, it says we have wickedness and evil imaginations and thoughts. There was a constant pollution of people, but I tell you the truth, when we compare Noah's times to our times, we make Noah's day look like child's play. We have constant mental pollution all the time. With TV, magazines, movies, the internet, and all that goes with that, and all these constant things barraging us in terms of our life. We are bombarded constantly, and if you have no solid ground in your life, And I think of younger people when I do this. If you have no solid ground in your life towards God, you get all twisted to the point where the things that are seems to be the way things should be, the way that we got all this stuff out there. It's just, well, that must be the way it should be. As in the days of Noah, so are our days are filled with wickedness of man, evil thinking continually with us. Wickedness and evil thinking are the two aspects in verse 5. In verse 11, we have the other two aspects of the times. It had to do with moral corruption and violence. There's a breakdown in morality and the obedience to God's laws, and the earth was filled with violence. Well, this century, this last 100 years, is probably the most violent time in the history of the world. And I could stand up here and recite to you all the wars and conflicts and all the genocide that take place and things like that. We have in Noah's times, as well as our times, these four things: wickedness, evil thinking, moral corruption, and violence. And it's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to go very far to find it. And Jesus says that his people will be led astray in these times because of deception and confusion. We get soaked in it, and we can be lulled into a spiritual stupor. And you know, it's all around us. It's in our advertisements, our movies, the music, the TV programs. False prophets are everywhere in our society, and we live in the kinds of times that Noah did, if not worse. And we live in a society filled with deception and confusion, and there is erosion of life and relationship values. We are a twisted generation living in a twisted world. And we live in violent times as well. The earth is filled with violence. We have all kinds of violent events that take place. And, boy, I could do a recitation up here of the last 10 to 15 years in terms of all these killings and things that are going on, like at schools and colleges and all the stuff. I mean, I could just recite them. How do we live and pray and work in a world that is twisted and deceived, corrupt and violent? Well, we build an ark to save our household. That's what Noah's task was. Noah prepared an ark for his household. Now, a household relates to your personal family. It has to do with kids, has to do with spouse. It also relates possibly to your business or to your community or your church. It's what is in the influence of your life. Now, when I speak of a household, it means your circle of influence. There are different levels of influence that we all have as people. Now, an ark is not just a boat. It's something that affords protection and safety from the storms, the turmoil, the judgment of God, and the weather of this world. So let's turn from Noah about the times of that he lived in and the times that we live, about preparing an ark for our household. Let's read Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 to 15a. Here we go. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. If you look at this scripture right here, just say the first five words. Here we go. And God said to Noah. And God said to Noah. When it comes to the task of Noah or your own personal task of building an ark. Now, I'm not talking about a boat here. We need to listen for God's voice and direction and instruction. The first thing that we need to do is listen to God's voice as he speaks to each of us. You see, God spoke to Noah. Now, some of you are going to remember this. You're plenty old enough to remember it, and I found this on YouTube. There are some things about the internet that are good. It's the story of Noah according to Bill Cosby, and I couldn't do it justice, so I found this. So here you go.
Of course, Noah had a heck of a job, really. He had to go out and collect all of the animals in the world by twos, two mosquitoes, male or female. And he had to keep telling the rabbits, only two, only two, only two. So we find Noah pulling up the last two animals, two hippos, and he's really in a hurry to get them up because he's afraid that the Lord's going to call him and ask him to do something else, and his nerves are shot. This is one heck of a job for a man 600 years old. So we find him pulling up the last two hippos, and of course the Lord does call him there. Come on, fat hippos, hurry up. Come on, will you please? Noah. What? What do you want? Gotta take one of those hippos out and bring in another one. What for? Because you got two males down there, and you need to bring in a female. I'm not bringing nothing in. You change one of them. Come on, you know I don't work like that. Hey, well, I'm sick and tired of this. I've had enough of this stuff. I've been working all day, working on for days and days. I'm sick and tired of this. Noah? Yeah? How long can you tread water? Yeah, well, I got news for you. I'm sick and tired of this whole mess. If I have the whole neighborhood's out there laughing at me, you're all having a grand time at good old Noah there. I went out and got my best friend, Larry. I said, Larry, listen, I've been talking with the Lord. Larry said, oh, really? I said, yeah, yeah, listen. Lord, Larry, you walked off there laughing. I hear them all up there laughing at me. You know I'm the only guy in this neighborhood with an ark? People around there laughing, picket signs, walking up and down. I'm sick and tired of this stuff here. People are walking around there, how you doing, Tarzan? How's everything out there? Sick and tired of this mess here. You're supposed to know all and see all. You let me go out there and bring in a pregnant elephant. You give me no manual for delivery and nothing. Never told me the thing was pregnant. There's good old Noah waiting underneath the elephant there. Broom, right on top of it. All that stuff for you running around. You're supposed to know all and see all. Like I said before, you let me go out there and do all this stuff for you. You never even looked in the bottom of that ark. Have you looked down there? No. Who's going to clean up that mess down there? That's me. I'll tell you that. I've had enough of this stuff. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm letting all these animals out, and then I'm going to burn down this ark, and I'm going to Florida somewhere because you haven't done nothing. I'm sick and tired of all this mess. You're fooling around, and you haven't done nothing except as you got it raining. It's not a shower, is it? Okay, Lord, me and you, right? Because I knew all the time everything was wrong.
The first five words of verse 13, and God said to Noah. Some of you people may think that God only speaks to biblical people or really religious people. It's just not true. God is speaking to you right now. Now, these words may be spoken by me, and I'm just a human being, but I can also be God's voice to you today. God speaks through people. God also speaks through Scripture, just like the story of Noah. And God spoke to Noah, and he said, you build an ark. In the middle of a violent world, God spoke to Noah, and he said some things to him, and I think I've got them printed here, verses 14, 18. This is what he said to him. Now, let's read this together and take it out of stained glass, okay? Here we go. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. Set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. Now, as you read this, God spoke to Noah. And if you think about this, now, you, this is really very practical. I mean, it's not very spiritual in nature. He says, here's what you do. He told Noah what to build the ark out of, how much, how long, what to put on the ark to plug the cracks so it wouldn't leak. We're talking about practical daily stuff in terms of our lives. And that's the way God speaks to us, too. Really practical stuff at times. It's not all this spiritual stuff, you know. God's talked to Noah about practical things and details. And God speaks to you the same way. In terms of our world, we are physical beings in this world as well as spiritual beings. And God speaks to you and me in times like this with good, practical sense about life. And God's practical and he gives directions. You have to listen, though. And then you have to do them. He tells Noah how to build an ark. When it comes to building the ark for your household, he gives practical direction to you as well. God gives us solid, practical directions on how to live our lives and how to build our lives and our whole households in a violent world. And it's not just a matter of believing in God. You need to walk in wisdom and obedience. So what are the practical directions? Well, some of them have to do with your spiritual life as well. You build your personal ark by a life in relationship with God, and you also have to know something. So there's a life of study that's involved. And, you know, these women are having this great banquet, and there's two talks on that. There's a talk on relationship with God and a talk on study. But you build your house, your ark, your life through worship, prayer, meditation, spiritual direction, and you study God's word. That's the spiritual side of this thing. But it's twofold in nature. His way of building a life is best represented in a spiritual life that is also wise in the ways of the world. You plan things. You know, there's a lot of things that have to do with the stuff of this world and also the spiritual part of our lives. There's the business of raising kids. There's the business of finances and relationships. There's a lot of things that are very practical. And by the way, you can find these directions in a book in the Bible. And I teach out of it every so often. The book of Proverbs is very, very wise stuff. And it has to do with people in this world. And you can also find that a little bit in Ecclesiastes. That's how you deal with people. It tells you about people. And then the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give you a real clear picture of following Jesus. Then there is the personal voice of God for you. And that concerns your purpose and destiny in this life. And this has to do with building your life in terms of vocation, in terms of family or job. It's personal. It's God speaking to you about your life in particular. Now, I was called into the ministry. Not everybody has that purpose. Your purpose in life is different than mine. But what we do is we build it with practical directions. The hard truth is we live in a violent world. We live in a world that is full of deception, and we need God's direction to help protect us and our families. God also talked about priorities with Noah. Besides a life in relationship and study and following the directions, in verse 18 here, God establishes his covenant with Noah. And the sign of that covenant is really on the front of the bulletin, but it's in chapter 9 of Genesis, verses 12 to 17, has to do with the sign of the rainbow. And the first priority of Noah was to get in relationship with God and bring his household under God's care. His boys weren't told to build the ark. He was. How do we get into relationship with God? We do it by receiving Jesus as our Savior. Jesus is the one who saves us from sin, from our sin. Jesus saves us by his shed blood. In the picture of Noah building an ark, there is even a picture of Jesus' atonement for our sin. If you look at verse 14 here, where it says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. Now, this movie, I know, at least they did that very well. They used that pitch a lot in there to plug up the holes. Now, just reading it, though, here we see a man who covers the ark with tar to keep the water out. That's what it said. But the word pitch here is also the very exact word which has a double meaning. Its other meaning is atonement. And atonement means to be made right through the blood of Jesus, covering our sin. When the children of Israel were down in Egypt, they were passed over by the angel of death, and it was because they put the blood of a sacrificed lamb on the doors. That blood made atonement and covered the people of Israel. That blood kept death away from them. It's kind of like that tar. You know, when they did that down in Egypt, it was kind of an ark of sorts, because God was going to deal with the world, because Egypt is always a picture of the world. The blood of Jesus is what keeps us from death and damnation. His blood is the atonement for our sins. And his blood is like the pitch here in Genesis. So when it says here that God said to Noah, you cover your ark with pitch inside and out, we can translate that into God's word for us. He says, you cover your personal ark, your household, with the blood of the new covenant in my son Jesus. And you cover it, your household, inside and out with that blood, and it will plug the leaks and the cracks in your physical ark. You see, we can build as best we can. But you know the thing, we don't cover our lives inside and out with pitch unless we have Jesus in our lives. And that's the blood of the atonement. And what happens is we will spring many leaks and sink without the blood of Jesus. That keeps the weather out. The covenant that we have through the blood of Jesus. You see, the ark really is a picture of God's kingdom and your kingdom together under your control, protection, and guidance, because that's what Noah was doing. He had a group of people that were under his protection, his household. And so make sure your priorities in terms of relationships are taken care of. Noah built the ark to save his family and those others that God gave him to take care of. That has to do with priorities. That's what he was doing. Make sure to take care of your spouse or your kids or their spouses. Get them into the kingdom of God. Make sure that your household is covered with the blood of Jesus when God begins to deal with this world again. Here in Genesis, it says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Basically, that he did what was right. He was different from the people around him. His character, the integrity of who he was different from the society in which he lived. And it had to do with his relationship with God. That's really what it had to do with it. And it was also a matter of he set the priorities through God's word to him. We need to decide our priorities about relationships, how we conduct the business of our lives, how we deal with the world around us, how do we be God's man or woman in this world. You can't compromise on how you build your ark either. You have to kind of be obedient to it. You have to be focused to it. You have to take care of the details. Because if you don't do it right, it won't hold up in the weather. And if you cover your house with the forgiveness that comes through Jesus, it's like putting that pitch all around it so it won't spring leaks. You know, the thing about the ark was you need to be insulated from the weather of the world. Now, that's not isolation, by the way. We're also called to redeem some of the world, save some. Noah's task was not only to build an ark and save his family, but he was also save the spouses of his sons. And then the creatures of the world. It's a picture of Christian action anyway. We have to go out and save some. We're called to bring some into the ark of our lives, and family was first, but Noah was also called to take care of every living thing. And so we may be insulated from the world, but we are not to live in isolation from the world. I think this is also where we come to look at the church. You know, the church has often been described as God's ark in today's world. The church is the vessel, the place of protection and safety, the vehicle that will literally rise above the judgment of God like a boat floating on the waters of judgment. In fact, the church is so much like the ark that some described it this way. The church is like Noah's ark. And just like Noah's ark, if it weren't for the weather outside, you couldn't stand the smell inside. You know, Bill Cosby was right when he was doing it. He says, I felt like Bill Cosby in that little thing. Lord, have you looked at the mess down here lately in the church? There's a lot of manure in it. You can translate that the way you want to. You got to clean up the mess at times. And be that as it may, the church is the vessel of salvation. One of the things we're called to be in this day and age is like that ark. The church, with its many programs and preaching, Sunday school, youth ministries, retreats, great banquet, are all part of the building of the ark right here. You know, one of the things that I've had as a priority, try to make a place where people can come to escape the violence, the death of this world, deal with the deception that is around them, get out of the weather for a bit here and there, and also get into the kingdom of God. And I want, I've kind of enlisted you guys to help me in this task as we do this. See, we don't know how many years we have left in this world. We don't know. We don't know how long God is going to hold off in terms of this, the second coming and all that that means. It may be right tomorrow for all I know, but it could be soon. And so one of the things we do in terms of the church, and it's kind of it's a priority that's always sitting in the back of my mind. You build a place like an ark. Now, that has to do with a physical building, but it has to do with the spiritual nature of who we are as a people, so that we can get some out of the weather of this world, the violence, the deception that is around us. And all the stuff that we do, the programs, the retreats, the great banquet, the worship, appeals for giving, all the things we do as a church are part of that as we build a vessel, an ark for people. But we're not doing it just for the sake of programs rather than, you know, you can turn this into a, you know, just a, something that you do. It is also really much about spiritual ministry. It has to do with focus. A lot of things that we do are pretty mundane around here. You know that? It's just like your life. It has to do with building an ark, a place where people can come and receive redemption and salvation and get into God's kingdom and get out of the violent weather of our world. But a lot of the stuff that we do is just really like doing the laundry. And I'm not one who is just about programs. This church is a matter of building an ark. And in some ways, I can very much identify with Noah, a person called to build a place where people can get out of the weather. If you can hear that, then you can understand that what I've been trying to do for a number of years is about that. It's about our spiritual life so we can deal with this world. I also know this. If we have no pitch, we have nothing to cover up the holes, the cracks, and the leaks, the ways that we can sin against one another as people in the church. The blood of Jesus is the atonement that covers us inside and out and keeps us afloat. And I know that that's the part of it that has to be done on a regular basis. The task of Noah is to live a life that is set apart from the lifestyles of the world, to live and build according to God's directions, his instructions. And I guess I want to call us once again to that task. You know, that's what we need to focus on as a church family. To be a light to people in this world, which is violent, and it's twisted, and it's filled with evil. But that's what we're called to do. Read with me Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. The word condemned here has to do with the idea of sorting out. When a judge's gavel comes down and he says guilty or not guilty, he is sorting out a case. When the judge of the universe makes a judgment, there will be no mistake. You can't work your way out of his judgments. When the Lord works his life in us, we become a judgment on the world. Do you realize that? We become a judgment on the world. When the Lord works his life in us, we become a judgment on the world. Because the values of our lives are set in stark contrast to another set of values that will not survive. And that's why we get all the trouble we do, and people are always talking about us Christians. Because we bring about judgment. That's the message of the ark. One set of values survives, the other set doesn't. Noah was not called to save the world. He was called to build an ark and save his family and those who were close. Our job as a church or as individuals is to build an ark covered with atonement and save those who we can and that come into our circle of influence. May it be so. Until he comes. Let's pray. Lord, help us to learn from the scriptures. May we gain the instruction that you provide for us in the words of your book. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're
going
to close with a Scottish song about revival, and it's called Build Your Kingdom Here.